Here's what we hear a lot of times when somebody comes back from a movie. We ask them how it was, and they say, well, the book was better than the movie. How many have heard? How many mostly believe that? I actually have read lots of books, and I found out that even though the movies were good, once I read the book, I said, nothing like the book. The movie's nothing like it. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because our inner visualization inside of our minds, our inner visualization is more powerful than visual perception alone. Now, you think about that. It's because that's how God has made us. It's why intuition speaks louder than intellect. Yeah, it does. It's why physical symbol guides spiritual imagination. You know? It's why we have symbols. The cross. This red that symbolizes the fire of the Holy Spirit descending. The dove. You know? The dove descending. And so, yeah, it stimulates our spiritual imagination. It's why we walk by faith, not by sight. You know? And it's also why this verbal story that's been read from 2 Kings, why it can open our eyes to spiritual vision. Even though it's a verbal story, it can open our eyes to spiritual vision. Now, I'll get a background here of this story. Syria's king had been trying to ambush again and again. He'd been trying to ambush Israel's king. But he kept getting his plans foiled because Elisha foresaw the ambush and told the king of Israel, don't go that way. So the king of Syria finally said, hey, what's going on? I got a spy in the group? Or who? He said, no, it's not us. It's this Elijah guy. It's Elijah seeing your plans, and then he knows what you think upon your bed at nighttime in your dreams. Oh! So he said, well, go get that guy. So they did. They surrounded the city. And when the servant of Elisha woke up in the morning and saw this, he was terrified. Now, Elisha wasn't concerned about the army as much as he was concerned about his servant's vision. You know, his servant was creating fear instead of faith. You know, that's where his servant was at. And so that's where Elijah's was. He prayed. Elijah prayed. That was his response. And prayer is where this thing comes in. Prayer can open eyes of earthly blindness with heavenly vision. And that's important to remember. That's why I put it on the worship. You can take this home with you. Prayer can open our eyes of earthly blindness with heavenly vision. And prayer can correct poor spiritual insight. Prayer can correct our poor spiritual insight, especially when our minds are captivated by intimidating circumstances and not focused on the reality of God's provision. We get intimidated, we start focusing, we get distracted, and we don't focus our attention on the reality of God's divine resources, His protection, His provision. Well, things looked pretty bad to Elisha's servant. He was spellbound by the appearance of around him, the world of appearances. And we can often have that problem too, where we just get, it's like something comes over us and we just are so distracted. And we just get so focused on something in this world, something that's happened, some situation. And we get focused on that, and all of a sudden we've forgotten God is in the picture. We just forgot because we got distracted, we got intimidated by the surroundings. Well, the servant saw himself surrounded by the enemy, and so will we. If we perceive those who oppose the gospel and people of the gospel oppose our King Jesus, and they don't want to, and they oppose the people of God, the servants of the King. If we focus on them as enemies, well, we're not going to see the right way that God wants us to see. Because, you know, these people are not the real enemies. They're the harvest. They're the harvest. We want to see them won to Christ. They're our target for evangelism. They're the people we want to see come to Jesus. So they're not the real enemy. Opponents of the gospel are actually blind, victims of blindness. They're blind. They oppose the gospel, they're blind. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, who's behind this? A real enemy is Satan. The real enemy, our real enemies aren't people. They are the hosts of darkness. And Ephesians chapter 6, it says this, for our struggle, and whenever we have a struggle, remember where the struggle comes from. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and not against people, not against human beings, okay? Not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark age, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Two fronts that we're fighting on. Two fronts that we have to fight on. Here, this dark world, and heavenly realms. Oh boy, we got two places that we're being attacked from. Well, this serpent's eyes were fixed on the hostile, seemingly hopeless predicament, you know, that was around him, and he cried out, "Oh my Lord, what are we going to do? What shall we do?" And we sometimes, we get terrified with, "Oh God, what are we going to do?" I mean, it's like, not, "Oh Lord, you're in control here. You are the King. You're almighty, and you are in this thing. And so, what is our next step, Lord?" It's not that kind of prayer. It's like, it's an anxiety kind of prayer. And that's not really a prayer. That's fretting before the Lord. It's not praying before the Lord or faithing before the Lord. It's fretting before the Lord. And we need not to fret because of evildoers, okay? So we can We can get focused on our circumstances in anxiety, and make that same desperate cry. "Oh God, what are we going to do? My Lord, what are we going to do?" You know? What shall we do? Well, we need to pray that prayer and turn over. "How, Lord, and you, how are you going to use me, Lord?" And the next step to turn this situation around and to defeat the evil forces of darkness. Is that a legitimate question that we can ask the Lord? Is that a legitimate prayer? It is a legitimate prayer. It is. Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Doesn't that sound similar to what he said? Those who are with us are greater than those who are surrounding us, you know, when Elisha was talking. And the evil one who blinds unbelievers spiritually has been defeated by the resurrected Christ. On the cross, he said it was finished. The battle was really done on the cross. But it was sealed by the resurrection. We serve a resurrected Christ, and guess where he lives? Yes, he lives in heaven, in heavenly places. But he also lives right here in every one of our hearts who've asked Jesus in. And he's right there. And so the one who has defeated these realms of darkness lives inside of us. That is so amazing. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be distracted by these other surrounding things. So Elisha confronted his servant's anxious focus with prayer. With prayer. Here's what it says in verse 17. Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Prayer opens eyes of earthly blindness with heavenly vision. For what that means for us, and this is what I hope that, I'm going to probably be talking about this a lot, I've been talking about it in the book of Acts a lot, is that what this means for us is seeing the reality, the divine reality that Christ is living in us and we are living in Him. Just as He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. How is that? How can we be sent the way Jesus was sent? It's because He said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I am in the Father, the Father's in me. I send you in the same way. You are in me and I am in you. That's exactly the same way. And so that's why we're going to have victory. Prayer opens our eyes to that. If we sometimes get distracted, go back to prayer.
Amen.
Go back to prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just call upon Him and refocus. And Satan intimidates us. He just tries to intimidate us with what seems to be personal dangers or personal attacks, personal affronts. He intimidates us with that. He tries to make us feel so surrounded by the slaves of unbelief that we forget that we are a people of faith. We are a people of faith. That's our identity. We are servants of the Most High God. That's our identity. And we don't need to be afraid if we feel surrounded. Who's making us feel surrounded? It's Satan trying to get us to make us distract us, intimidate us, you know? And then we forget our identity, who we really are. And Satan wants us to doubt that Jesus is continuing this incarnational work on earth by indwelling us. He's continuing, he's not done yet, he's continuing his ongoing work in us, fleshly vessels. Incarnation, yeah, that's what incarnation means, inside of our flesh. It means inside flesh. Jesus is still living inside flesh, but not just in one body. One body in Jerusalem and in Palestine at a certain time. It's everywhere now, spread around the world in us. That's an amazing thing. So, this indwelling presence, Satan does not want us to focus on that, and especially, he does not want us focused on our powerful position in Christ. I've been talking a lot about Christ being in us. That's the incarnational reality. That's the incarnational work that Jesus is continuing. But there's another thing, too. And we've got to focus on this, that we are in Christ. And why is Satan trying to not get us to focus on us being in Christ? It's because it is a battle position. Our stand in Christ is a battle position, especially in prayer, when we are praying. Earthly armor in Ephesians chapter 6. The earthly armor, it equips us to fight spiritually against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Here on a vertical level, okay? The dark world of spiritual powers that are coming into us. That's what we are being equipped by this earthly or this spiritual armor. And it's all like weapons and shields and breastplates and things like that. But then there's something else. To overcome spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, that's another front. And so we take a positional stance for that. It's a position that we take. And it's the position that it's an otherworldly position. You may not think, well, prayer? Prayer is an otherworldly position? Yes, it is. It is. In Ephesians chapter 18, it says, and, now this is after Paul has listed all of these weapons and all these defenses that are armor, and now he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Preceding any mention of spiritual warfare in Acts chapter 6, preceding any mention of spiritual warfare, Paul talks about our position. Listen to what he says. Our spiritual location. Where are we in Christ? Now, this is going to take you on a little bit of a journey here, and your mind is going to be stretched. Now, listen to this, though. Listen to our spiritual location in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. He mentions this before he ever gets to spiritual warfare. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In the heavenly realms. Listen, chapter 2, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are in those heavenly realms. This is going to stretch your mind, as I said. But listen to why God has done this, or what this, the impact of this. In Ephesians 3, verse 10, His intent was that now, through the church, that's us, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. And it's talking about the ones we're supposed to be fighting against. All of those talks about us in Christ being in heaven. And you say, well, wait a minute. How can that be? Did you know that this is true about believers? That we're in two places at once? Jesus is in two places at once. Jesus is resident right here on earth still, and He's resident in each one of our hearts. But then He's also at the right hand of the Father. Now think about us. Where are we? We are in two places at once too. We are here on earth, Jesus being in our heart. We're here on earth, but we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And where we really see that is in prayer. I don't know if you've ever felt this. If you've been in prayer and you close your eyes and all of a sudden, it's like you're in another realm. You're in another realm. Well, you know something? This whole concept that I just talked about is not a metaphor. It's not a figurative language, especially when God says, draw near to the throne of grace. Well, where's the throne of grace? Where is the throne of grace? It is in heaven. And how are you going to draw near to the throne of grace if you're here on the earth? Well, we're not just here on the earth. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we experience that as we draw near to the throne of grace in heaven. So be open to that the next time you pray. Feel that. It's part of our heavenly vision. It's part of our heavenly reality in our salvation. When Christ saved us, He saved us for that. He said, well, I don't feel that way. Well, you don't have to. We don't walk by sight and feelings and sensations. We walk by faith. What Jesus says is true. So I'm going to live that way. And it wasn't the warrior angels. It wasn't the warrior angels, but it was prayer that captured those Syrians. You know, by turning. And this is why God said He often does this. He took their spiritual blindness and He made it into physical blindness. And He did the same thing with Paul. When Saul of Tarsus was after, in his religious blindness, he was going to persecute Christians, you know, in Damascus, then Jesus showed up. And what happened? Saul became blind, and his eyes were not open until what? A prayer. His eyes were opened by the prayer of Ananias in Damascus. Isn't that interesting? It's a parallel story about how that God uses symbols. The symbol of physical blindness to show that there was spiritual blindness. And then, you know, ironically, this whole story ends up being a salvation story. It ends up being a salvation. You know, ironically, Elisha led these blind Assyrians to the one they were really after. They really weren't after him. They wanted to get to the king of Israel. Well, he took them right to the king of Israel, blind. And then he said, "Now, Lord, open." He prayed again, "Lord, open their eyes." And when he did, where were they? Right there in front of the king of Israel, ready to be, maybe, that was the last thing they would see. So, when he did this, when he prayed for open eyes, he did something. He brought, this whole thing brought a time of peace that could not have been purchased by the sword. They would have lost lots of lives and they still wouldn't have had peace. Both sides, both armies would have lost lots of lives and they still wouldn't have had peace. But this opened eyes. Here's what happened. I'll just read it again. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men whom you have captured with your sword or your bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram, which is Syria, stopped raiding Israel's territory. Did you see what happened? Not a drop of blood was shed in that whole thing. When we rely upon our limited earthly view of things, we do not see the bigger picture that God can show us, a heavenly perspective. We don't see it unless we pray, unless we get on spiritual ground. And we do have access to heavenly spiritual vision through Christ in prayer. We have access to it. It's open to us. It's a gift to us. God wants us to have our eyes open. Elisha's servant was blind to divine reality by a fearful focus. He was afraid. He was looking at dangers, things that looked like dangers. They appeared to be dangers surrounding him. The Syrians were blind to the prospects of peace by their political hostility and their prejudice. You know, how many thousands of other situations and distractions keep us blind to God's provision and to God's plans for us? They're all over the place. But we must get back through prayer. It helps us to refocus. Only prayer can open eyes of earthly blindness with heavenly vision. And if we're to pray for the eyes of others to be open to Christ, to the reality of Christ, the realities of who He is, we must first pray for clarity in our own spiritual vision. So, join me in prayer as we do that, as we pray that way. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to see the reality of Your presence in us and of Your spiritual presence and of our spiritual presence before Your throne of grace. Every time we pray that You open the eyes of those around us whose minds have been blinded by the deceiver. Let them see that You are real, that You are really are the loving God Your holy word proclaims. Bring them also to this place of spiritual provision and protection in Christ, and to this powerful heavenly position in prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray for this. Amen.